Glad to see everyone back with us this evening. You will be taking your Bibles and turning to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6 will be our text for this evening. A man arrived late to a baseball game. He got there, he goes up toward the dugout, and he asks someone in the dugout, "What's the score?" To which the young man in the dugout replied, "We're behind." Have you ever felt like you were behind? Have you ever felt as though you were down in the valley, surrounded by an army, ready to do battle? As we look at the book of 2 Kings, specifically in the first few chapters, we see Elijah and the transition from Elijah to Elisha. And when we look at what's taking place at the beginning of the book of 2 Kings, first of all, in chapter 2, we see there the translation of Elijah from this life unto the next. And he's taken into heaven by chariot, or a chariot likened and horses likened to fire. Chapter 2, verse 11. In Psalm 104, verse 4, we read, "Who maketh his angel spirits, his ministers a flaming fire." So we see Elijah there being translated unto the next life. And the transition is now going to be made from him to Elisha, both being prophets of God. And that spirit of Elijah is now going to rest upon Elisha. 2 Kings 2 and verse 15. Now as we look from chapter 2 through chapter 6, we see God over and over and over again affirming that Elisha is now his prophet. In chapter 2, we see the beginning then of the miracles being performed. He's going back, Elisha is, to the river Jordan. They had been on the east side. Now he's coming back to the west side of the Jordan. And he takes the mantle of Elijah. He beats the river Jordan with it and the waters part. Miracle number one. In chapter 2, 19 through 22, we see Elisha purifying the waters in Jericho, which before had been undrinkable. Miracle number 2. In chapter 2, 23 through 25, we see him cursing the wicked children of Bethel and what took place there. Provision of water for armies of Jehoshaphat and Joram. Chapter 3, 1 through 20. Again, a miracle provided by God. And that affirming of Elisha being the man of God. In chapter 4, 1 through 7, Elisha stays the cruse of oil. The oil will not run out. We see him raising the son of the Shunammite woman in chapter 4, 8 through 37. We see him purifying of the poison stew in chapter 4, 38 through 41. In chapter 5, one of my favorite accounts in the book of the Kings is the healing of Naaman's leprosy, chapter 5, 1 through 14. And then the passing of that leprosy to Gehazi, his servant, who got greedy in chapter 5, 15 through 27. And then chapter 6, you see the floating axe head. And we've gone through all of that rather quickly, but the text that we're going to concentrate on tonight is 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 through 17. 2 Kings 6, beginning in verse 8. "Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servant, saying, 'My camp will be in such and such a place.' And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, 'Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there.' Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, 'Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?' And one of his servants said, 'None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom.' So he said, 'Go and see where he is, and that I may send and get him.' And it was told him, saying, 'Surely he is in Dothan.' Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, 'Alas, my master, what shall we do?' So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria at this point, he's there to capture the man of God, Elisha. Elisha has been privy, it seems, to all the his personal information, knows where he's going to be, when he's going to be there, and so he saved the king of Israel's life on numerous occasions. And so Ben-Hadad takes it upon himself. He says, "I'll fix this problem. We'll go and we'll find the prophet, and we'll take care of this mess." As we begin to look at this text and we break down what's taking place here, we know indeed that Elisha is a man of God. He's told what these things are, what's taking place. Now, notice, let's see, verse 13. Talking about needing to know where he's at. "Go that I may send and get him." Get him there. He's talking about doing away with him. Capturing him, killing him, whatever the case may be. He's doing away with him. Verse 14. He goes down and surrounds the city. Now, the purpose and the what we want to look at really is in verse 16, or verse 15, rather. The New King James is, "What shall we do?" I believe in the King James is, "How shall we do?" What are we going to do? What's going to take place? The servant goes out, he sees all this army. He's surrounded. He sees no way out. We can't escape the city. What shall we do? Friends, do we feel like that sometimes? We look around us and it seems that we're surrounded by hardships, a sickness, financial struggles, family problems, immorality, peer pressure, and the list could go on and on and on and on. Do we sometimes feel like the servant of Elisha? And ask the question, what shall we do? How are we going to deal with this? What's to happen to me? Notice what Elisha simply does in verse 16. Elisha's simple answer is, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. What did he see? And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. God sends help. He sends help. Nothing's going to happen to Elisha. He's going to see his people through. He did it with the Israelites, didn't he? Pharaoh hot on their heels, he took care of them. Made sure there was no way Pharaoh could get it to them until everybody was across the Red Sea. He lifts the cloud, Pharaoh and his army rush in, and the walls of the sea fall in upon them. Took care of his people. Over and over and over again in the book of Judges, we see God taking care of his people. That wasn't about to change now. Friend, when we look at this text and we put ourselves in that servant's shoes, there's no doubt in my mind that sometimes we feel that way and we ask the question, how shall we do? What shall we do? Where will we turn? How are we going to overcome? Well, friend, when we're encompassed about by our enemies, when wondering, how shall we do? We must open our eyes and see all that God has provided for our deliverance. As we said just a moment ago, when we are surrounded by sickness, by financial struggles, by family problems, by immorality, by peer pressure, when all those things are around about us, when we feel beaten down, when we feel that there is no escape, and we're asking ourselves, maybe even others, what are we going to do? How are we going to overcome this? How are we going to get through? Friends, we have to open our eyes and see that God has provided. He's going to see us through. I'm mindful of Psalm 119 and verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You think about that, friends. When we're surrounded by darkness and we don't really know which way to go, we don't know where to turn, we can turn to God's Word. And it will shed the light that needs to be shed upon the path that we need to travel. God will show us the way. When we're surrounded by all of those things, we can turn to His Word. When we're surrounded by everything, we can turn to prayer. You think about 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. Where Peter writes, "There, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." You know, friends, there are just some things in life that we cannot change. Some things in life that we just may not know how to deal with. And so what do we do with those things? Do we keep them to ourselves, friends? I hope not. I would hope that we would carry those things to God in prayer. Casting our cares on Him. Why, Peter says? For He careth. He once cared enough for you to die. And He continues to care for you now. To see to your needs. He careth for you. Friends, we must open our eyes and see that God has provided a Christian family. We read in Romans 12 and verse 15, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with those that weep." We can continue to carry that principle further. But what we see there, friends, is a Christian family. One, they are whole, able to lean upon one another. You've had a bad day? Why not call a brother or sister in Christ? Lean upon them. Ask for their help. God has given us that opportunity. He's given us a great family upon which we can call, that we can lean upon. I treasure that more than anything. My supposed to be 10-year high school reunion is this year, coming up in just a couple of weeks. As much as I'd like to go maybe and watch the high school football team at this time, I don't really have an interest in going because I don't keep in touch with anybody that I went to high school with. You see, the family that I've got is right here. The Lord's family. They're the ones I lean upon. They're the ones that I care about. They care about me. They lift me up. We have a Christian family upon which we can lean. And so when we're surrounded by darkness, when we're surrounded by all the cares of this life, why not lean upon one another? We need to open our eyes, friends, and see, number four, that God has provided the cross. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Notice with me verses 8 through 10. I want you to notice and pay careful attention to what Paul's saying here. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Do you think Paul could relate a little bit to the servant that we read about here? He says as much, doesn't he? We are troubled on every side. We're surrounded. Everywhere that Paul turned, he faced opposition. It was a battle just for him to live from day to day. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, as a matter of fact, if you wanted to turn over just a few pages, you see everything that he suffered. You see everything that he went through. Every city, it seemed, that he went to, he was beaten. He was stoned. He was left for dead. As he's traveling on his missionary journeys, on a couple of occasions, he was shipwrecked. All of these things he suffered. Why? Why go through that? Why put himself through those things? Because of the cross of Christ, verse 10. So that Christ might be seen in him in the way that he lived. Friends, we may be perplexed. We may face opposition on every side. The question is, how do we respond? Do we get discouraged? Do we just want to quit? Do we want to give in? When we're surrounded on every side, friends, let's remember, let's open our eyes and we see that God has provided salvation through His Son. He's provided the cross. And then number 5, we see the faithfulness of God. In every age, God has looked after His people. We see the faithfulness of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. I want you to notice this with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. You know, sometimes we get down. Sometimes it seems maybe like we're the only one that's going through whatever it is that we're going through. But notice what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. There hath no temptation, there hath no trial taken you but such as is common to man. Think about that phrase for just a moment before we read the rest of the verse. There hath no trial, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Friends, you may have a disease that only 1 in 1 billion have. You know, you still cannot say that you're the only one that has ever gone through that. Because there are at least 7 others out there that are going through the same thing. There is no temptation, there is no trial taking you but such as is common to man. Whatever it is that you're facing, whatever it is that's going on in your life, friends, that's not a special case. Somebody else has faced what you have faced and they've come through on the other side. Now that said, here's the hope in that passage in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Now we learn in James chapter 1 that it's not God that tempts us. James basically tells us that we tempt ourselves. Man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. So what are we talking about in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13? God will with the temptation make a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. What do we mean by that? Friends, what we read there is that God's going to take care of His people. God's going to make sure that we're able to make it through to the other side. That whatever the case may be, there are brighter days ahead. It may not be in this life, however. It may be in the next. We talked about some of the persecutions that our forefathers, so to speak, suffered. Even being led into their death. They saw brighter days ahead as they were in the Lord. Friends, when we're surrounded on every side, we must open our eyes and see that God has provided His faithfulness to His people. What shall we do? when we're surrounded. Let's go back to 2 Kings chapter 6. Beginning in verse 18 now, we see, "So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now Elisha said to them, this is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. So it was when they had come to Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and they were saw there they were inside Samaria. Now when the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, my father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them? But he answered, you shall not kill them. Would you kill those whom you have taken captive with your sword and your bow? Set food and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. God provided for his people. God saw that there was a way out. Friends, we must trust in God so that when we come to the point when we ask, what shall we do or how shall we do, that we understand that God has provided for us His Word. He's provided us the avenue and the privilege of prayer. He's provided us with a Christian family upon whom we can draw our strength. He's provided for us salvation in the cross of Jesus Christ, and He has provided for us His own faithfulness. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our song books. Ready to sing that invitation song in just a moment. How shall we do when compassed about by our enemies? How shall we do when Satan brings against us his armies? God informed Elisha, the man of God, of the enemy's plans before they were carried out. God, friends, has provided us with His Word that informs us of all of the things that we might face. Provides us with a way to know our enemy. Friends, how shall we do? The answer to that question, friends, we must open our eyes and see that they that be with us are more than they that be with them. A man arrived late to a baseball game. Asked one in the dugout, what's the score? The young man replied, we're behind. 18-0. The man said, you don't seem too disappointed. To which the young man affirmed, oh, I'm not worried. We haven't had our turn to bat just yet. How shall we do? Friends, God has provided the way. Provided us the way of salvation. Friends, are you here tonight having never obeyed the gospel of Christ? Does it seem that things are pressing in on every side? God has provided hope. He's provided hope through the death of Jesus Christ upon the cross and Him shedding His blood for the remission of your sins. Would you obey the gospel this evening? Would you put Christ on in baptism and be washed in His blood? Friend, are you here having done that at some point in the past? Have you fallen away? Do you have sin in your life even now? Would you come home? Repent of those things and be His once again. Friend, if you have a need to obey the gospel, to repent of sin, or friend, if you just need the prayers of the church, won't you come now while we stand and while we sing?